And we're back, live, sharing the burden. I'm Scott, your host, and we are meeting here every Tuesday morning, 10 a.m. to 11. And folks, for those who don't know, there's a little place almost next door, 6331 Main Street, called Hummingbird Hub. And God willing, the three of us will drop, four of us will drop in there.
Yeah,
sorry, Jay, didn't leave you out. I can't see you behind all these screens here.
I'm here.
Tell me you're here.
Yeah. We're going.
Jay's integral to this show, by the way, folks. If there's anything you don't like, call him.
If I need to pump up your volume or whatever, then I could do
that. Folks, I don't know what happens to my voice out there, but I know when I listen to the recordings, half the time I can't hear myself properly. I'm like, I don't hear well anyway, but... Do I have to shout? I don't know.
Thanks to Bob for pointing that out to us.
Yes, Bob, thanks very much. Yeah. And keep pointing, because I want to hear me. Now, not because I'm important, because sometimes the stuff put in me needs to get out and people need to hear it. Anyway, two great guests, and glad to be back with them. Again, welcome, Elizabeth. Welcome, Eddie.
Thank you.
Eddie, I want to ask you a couple of things, and then I want to get back to how mentor-mentee can help us at the gate. And if I forget, put me on tap here, because I'm known for going in directions that just seem to feel right, and sometimes that's good for me but not good for everybody else. Eddie, lived experience. Talk a little bit about, not you don't have to go into detail about what went on, but you know, what's your sense of having that? And we've spoken many times online, so I'm not letting any cats out of the bag. You talk often about the combination of a mental illness and addiction, and how together you've been able to work with them. You know, I mean, there's no cure for these things, but there's a culpability.
Control.
There's a sense of control. And, I mean, of course, we know in our step rooms that control resides in the... in the boundaries of the Almighty, if you will. But we are sort of given, or we do have a certain amount of things that we can do to make life better. So we learn, we become behavioral experts in an area of whoever we are and wherever we are and so on and so forth. So tell us a little bit about your sense of the lived experience and how you're able to cope with those two things from, from someone who's working... really hard on becoming a serious peer worker too. And by the way, you're already a peer worker in every sense of it, and whomever you get to work for will be blessed. So Eddie, what's your sense on it? What is it all about, and how does it operate, and how do you live within the confines of what's going on out there?
Well, that's a lot of stuff. Like, first of all, you have to try and be as honest as you personally can, you know, when you're dealing with your life. And you have to have the right timing. Like, if I'm talking to somebody who's hurting or having a difficulty in any way, shape, or form, you know, I was once told, and I took this constructive criticism, I was just talking to Elizabeth earlier, I was a little too, enthusiastic as a peer worker. Because I had an interview with an organization, and they came out and said, you're a little bit too enthusiastic for dealing with people like that. So I've learned from that. I'm learning from each place. So, when it comes to lived experience, I hope it becomes more of an important role in the workforce. I have to admit, I was completely blown away when I found out about lived experience. I thought there was nothing like it, and I didn't even know that I could build a career around it. Mm-hmm. And like I've said on many times, I just kind of fell into this, and I'm going with it, but I definitely know I have found my niche. I think... when you get two honest people, whether they're addicts, alcoholics, or just people in general, hurting people, and they share, and they have a connection, I think special things happen. Mm-hmm. I think lots of everything from a good foundation is built. Mm-hmm. I find that caring attitude towards one another, a respect towards one another, a helping hand towards one another is a basis to start good relationships with people. And, you know, just my personal view, I don't believe anybody wants to be a bad person or do things due to circumstances that are beyond their control. you know, I have learned from my mistakes, and I will continue to learn from the mistakes, because I'm not perfect. I take back my will all the time, and I still make mistakes, but that's mm-hmm. a learning experience. But I wake up every morning trying to be the right person, the best person that I can be. So I believe it's all human nature. Like, a lot of people, I think lived experience can help people be a better mm-hmm. person, and I think it needs to be educated in the workforce, you know, with management and so forth. And, you know, I know it's all about the buck. Let's make another dollar. That's what it comes down to. Faster, cheaper, smoother, quicker. But I'm hoping that there can be some sort of humanity
mm-hmm.
in the workforce, instead of just being mm-hmm. I don't know how right I am by saying this, instead of just being a, I don't want to say number, but if you get my
yep.
gist, you know, just we've used you to where you have been, and we can't use you anymore. And I yeah. think that has to, I think that culture is changing. Like, if you just look around all the different types of social agencies that are out there and all the wonderful things that are happening, mm-hmm. like on the grassroots level and so forth, there is change. It may take, I don't know, I know I want to be a part of that change with lived mm-hmm. experience. And I want to know that change is coming. I just don't know how long it's going to be before real change becomes change, before where it comes to status quo, before it becomes the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that I don't think lived experience is, but I could be wrong. Elizabeth might know a little bit more about it than me, but I don't think lived experience is a status quo. I think it wants to be the status quo, and mm-hmm. I think with time and the right people and the right organizations and the right mm-hmm. exposure, that it can become the status quo. But I'm not an expert in those fields. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm just a guy trying to do the best he can with what yeah. he's been left with.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent, excellent.
I've got to jump in Beautiful. And say,
yeah.
Ed, I know you're an expert. I know you are. Yeah. You are. Lived experience yeah. makes you an expert.
Yeah.
And what you pass on to others is invaluable. And when we left off, I said the words, you know, broken shelter system. And that is because we haven't had that extra layer of support, the peers being recognized as valuable as the people with the educations, the professionals,
yep.
The union members. Right now, the good news is that, yes, we got to an emergency with the broken shelter system, and the newspapers were full of it, and the news all over the winter was just terrible news about the homeless. And yet, here we are with the City of Toronto now funding the first five pilot organizations for the new shelter peer support model. Ooh. That means that some good, serious money is being put toward the organizations who are going to build professional peer support models within their shelters and make that transition so that the infrastructure is there for the peers to be honored as they should, as experts, paid as they should, understood as they should by the other members of the team, and be really a part of the team, wow. as from management right down to frontline. I do believe peer support is the new wave, the next big wave that's going to heal, as well as, of course, prevention, heal the homeless crisis that we've had, the opioid crisis that we've had, you know, the cost, the extreme cost that we go to as a society just with our mainstream systems, the healthcare system,
yeah.
you know, getting into CAMH, we wait 6 months for that, don't yeah. we? And that's not right. And peers can fill those gaps. The cost savings to governments, to taxpayers, is enormous. Peers are very valuable, and you are definitely, you know, lived experience experts. It takes some training, that's all. So come over beautiful. To Mentor Mentee. We'll talk more.
Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And I think that's going to be the answer to a lot of things. Mentor Mentee will be that entity at the door, in a sense, for what we do too, and at least part and parcel of that, and that these people will not be left to head for increased homelessness.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's exactly what happens. And I hear it every day. where are you going to go? I really don't know. I really don't know. The only thing I do know is, you know, I live on the street. You've heard this. Back for a second at professionalism versus peer support. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the things that Elizabeth alluded to was an educating of the peer worker in a professional way to, in a sense, at least in the mind of the public out there, promote the peer worker, the worker with the lived experience, to a professional status.
I know how to answer that already.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
Go for it.
I do. When I first started looking into peer work and so forth, I was astounded that I found two organizations, one called Peer Support Canada, the other one called OPDI, Ontario Peer Development Initiative. And I'm on ODSP, and my funds are not a lot.
Yeah.
I wanted to get paid. It needs to be recognized by colleges and universities. Mm-hmm. It needs funding from OSAP and so forth to get the professionalism and the certification and so forth. Like, I have certificates from the Gerstein Center, but if I go to the colleges and universities and say I'm a, it's not certified, right? So, like, the first step, even when we talk about not being professional, if you want to be professional, you got to be professional. And that's the way of the world nowadays. Certified for everything, right? So it's just my view, and I could be wrong, but it's my view. We have to use professionalism to a certain degree to get to obtain the goal of being certified. If I want to be a, it should be recognized by the colleges and universities and so forth.
Yeah.
And there should be funding. So if people like me or other people on assistance want to change their coping. But then it all comes back to dollars and cents, and how much is the government spending, and how much can they allocate, and there's so many social programs, and I don't know the answer to it. All I know is I want to be a part of it.
You know, very interesting there. The I'll tell you, the whole professionalism versus not, if you will. Our success, sharing the burden, is based on non-professionalism, if you will. We go in as Eddie Bolitsky, Scott Duncan, not labeled, you know, director, worker, none of that stuff. So nobody knows. It's almost as though going into the rooms of just about any sort of group therapy, even 12-step repair work, if you want, going into a meeting. We check at the door whatever labels we have, you know, and we try and do that, I think, you know, at the internal level, too. We, you know, check our ego at the door, if that's possible. And that's easy going into jails, by the way. It's easy to check your ego at the door, because you don't want to go in there, for one thing, until you're really used to it. You don't want to go in there coming off as a hoity-toity or up or anything, because you're automatically disrespected, let alone anything else. But the fact that we go in with only exactly what we come across of as vibe-wise, you know, like whatever the vibes coming off of us are, that's what these people get, and that's what they want.
They've
heard enough of, and even not to demean it in any sense of the word, and I don't mean to, but even social workers, because they can't get the consistency they need out of those guys. And it's not the social worker's fault either. It's just the system. But, you know, so nothing is complete until we find a way to complete it. And we have to complete it with our senses of faith and camaraderie and collaborative work that mentor-mentee and organizations like that are you know, busy putting together, and I believe successfully. So what we're going to do is we're going to take another quick break, and then we're going to go over to Elizabeth and just get her sense of how mentor-mentee can make a difference in what we do with sharing the burden. And we're just one organization that can be part of a template for a whole lot of things that could go on. So with that, Jay, I think we'll take another quick break and be back in about a minute.